Okay, you can open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 20. Imagine that you've been working with a company for 35 years. You have given your heart and soul to that business. You've worked so hard. You've gotten there early. You have left late. You have traveled all over country, maybe even the world for this company. You have put in all kinds of effort for this company, giving your life to it. 35 years. In that year, an intern comes to work with the company. The intern is still in college, just finished up their sophomore year, still learning the industry, doesn't really at this point have a good idea of what's going on. Really, truly, everyone knows this intern is not really contributing to what's going on with the company, at least not yet, and still new, still learning. But you catch wind, along with several of your other coworkers, who have an inclination to gossip a little bit. I know that wouldn't happen in most of our workplaces, but you catch wind that the intern is getting the same salary as you, who have worked with the company for 35 years. And there are several other coworkers you know that are in the same boat, astonished that this intern is getting paid the same amount, just starting, contributing just a little bit to what's going on with this company. If you got word of that, I'd imagine if you didn't voice it with your voice, you'd certainly be thinking it in your head, that's not fair. That's not fair. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." So here is sort of the scene. You have an owner of a vineyard. And this was typical in this day that they would go and get day laborers to come and help in the vineyard. And so this worker, this owner, goes and gets a group of men in the early morning, then gets another group of people at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 5 p.m., all to work in the vineyard. Hard work, manual labor. These first men agreed to the amount of a denarius for their work, which was a typical day's wages. So that's about what one could be expected to get paid for a day of work. So that's what's going on here. Five groups of workers. Verses 8 through 16 now. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired the last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" so the last will be first, and the first will be last. So at the time of payment, all workers received the same pay, a denarius. So each worker, whether they had worked all day long from the early morning in the heat of the day, mind you, and those who were hired at the end of the day, perhaps only working an hour, two, maybe 3 hours, all paid one denarius, the usual wage of a day laborer. So it shouldn't surprise us that this infuriated those workers, especially those ones that worked longer, and they cried out, "That isn't fair. This isn't fair." And we can all say, life isn't fair. This parable, like many of Jesus' parables, starts off, "The kingdom of heaven is like." Then he goes on and tells a story like this one. What does that mean when he says that the kingdom of heaven is like something? I think he's saying that this is God's way. This is God's design. This is God's society. In God's kingdom, this is how things work. This is what you can expect when God is ordering things. The kingdom of heaven is like. So, when you enter the kingdom as citizens in God's kingdom through the life of the Messiah, this is what you can expect in God's way, in God's society. And like many of Jesus' parables, there's a twist in this story. And that twist makes us say, huh, what's going on here? So the expected actions of the owner are simple and straightforward, right? He would pay the ones who work the fewest hours the least amount. It just makes sense. The owner here, and I don't want to necessarily get into this allegorical approach to understanding this parable, to say that every character in this parable represents another person or character. I don't want to get there. But this owner here certainly gives us a picture of God, God's way of doing things, way in the kingdom. We think about Jesus' first disciples, right? One of them, a tax collector, who would have been under the scrutiny of that society, certainly a Roman society. You have some uneducated fishermen that were part of this first group of disciples. You think of God saying, "I don't want this son of yours, Jesse. I don't even want that son of yours. I don't want this son of yours to be the king. I want, where's that? Don't you have another son? Oh yeah, there's David, but he's out tending sheep. No, that's the one I want." God does things differently. With God, there is this sort of call for all people to sort of expect the unexpected. Think about Gideon, a coward, right? Not one that is just necessarily stepping out in faith. And God says, "I'm going to use you, Gideon, to accomplish my purposes." Or, of course, we have Paul or Saul, the one who persecuted Christ followers. He's going to be the one that it becomes a powerful proclaimer of the gospel. Saul, really? Saul? That one who was standing there as Stephen was being stoned, he's the one that is going to encourage Christ's followers? In God's way, yeah. That's how God works. God surprises us all the time. God's grace, I think we could say, is reckless, but it's beautiful. As soon as we think, okay, this is how things are going to work, God goes and does something else, and we say, huh, wow. It betrays our conventional, or he betrays our conventional wisdom all the time. Remember, some of you, I won't share too much about this, but some of you have been to Higher Ground, and that ministry is really an incredible ministry that many in this congregation have experienced. But the stories, several men got up and shared their faith story. And the faith stories that made the most impact on me, at least, were not those that were shared by the preacher or the elder or someone who has, we would say, maybe grown up in the church or grown up at least honoring God in their life. The stories that had the impact were the ones in which someone had spent time in jail, someone had been caught up in drugs, all of these kind of things. And they say, but God has been working in my life. And so God surprises us, because in my mind, I would write that person off, say, nope, too far gone. That person, there's no way that person can be a powerful witness for God. But you sat there in higher ground and listened to man after man share their story of how God has been working. And you say, huh, wow, God surprises us all the time. The owner said, I want to pay that one the same amount as I paid that one. I'm generous. I can do whatever I want. You think about the person who was baptized at 90 years old. I know of a person that was baptized at that age. You might know of someone too. Lived a reckless life. Yet near the end of their life, in fact, within their last year, they gave their life over to God in baptism. Huh. Wow. And we wouldn't for a second, I don't think, maybe one of us would speak up and say, that's not right. That's not fair. That person shouldn't experience heaven. That person shouldn't be there. None of us would go up and say that. Instead, what we would say, because we know it in our bones, we'd say, that's grace. That's God's way of working. And this one gets us all the time, or gets me. And you can Google this, because we know we can believe everything on the internet, right? Do you know that Jeffrey Dahmer was baptized by a Church of Christ minister? Yep. Yep. Even the Christian Chronicle wrote about it. And you can even see letters that were shared between Jeffrey Dahmer and a minister. And we think, no. No. Think about the thief on the cross, right? Jesus said to that thief, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. He said, no, no, it doesn't work that way. We sort of have an obsession with justice, right? The all-day workers cried out, this isn't fair. My question is, why does it matter to them how much the owner pays the other workers? Those that were signed up the earliest, they agreed to the amount of one denarius. I think it's sort of part of our human DNA. Parents and teachers, they know this, right? That phrase, that's not fair, it starts early, right? This person gets two cookies. How many does the next person want? Two cookies, right? And if it doesn't happen, that's not fair. Even by the time it's bedtime and they're still talking about the other person getting two cookies. That's a lame example, but you see where I'm going with this. That's not fair. It's part of our DNA. And I wonder, and I'm just thinking through this, I wonder if our sense of justice and God's sense of justice are in fact not the same. They are similar, but in a way they're not the same. I'm trying to process this and kind of doing that verbally. God sees all, knows all, and cares deeply for humankind. And as a matter of fact, he loves and cares in a way that we can't love and care. For he created humankind. His sense of love is deeper and comes from a different place than our love for others. So he says, or the owner says, pay them the same amount. I'm generous. I want to do that. And look again at what the owner said to the grumbling workers. This is in verse 14. After they grumble, he says, take your pay and go. I wonder if he's saying, just let me do my thing. Just take your pay and go. I can be generous. I'm the owner after all. It's my vineyard. And we can't forget in this conversation about justice the grace that we see in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's a game changer here. And that's a powerful demonstration of God's love for humanity. And in all of this also, it's important for us to remember that for all of us, it's only by God's grace that any of us can experience the reconciliation that comes through Jesus. It's only by God's grace. We all know Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death, and that's for me, that's for you. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so with that in mind, we must look at life through a lens of grace. We must look at ourselves. We must look at others with a lens of grace. The words of Philip Yancey kind of haunt me. He talks about a prostitute. And someone encouraged this prostitute to go to church to find help. Her life was, it was just in the gutter. She was in really bad shape. So the person said, you know what? Maybe you'd find some help with the local church. And this prostitute down on her luck said, church? Why would I go to church? They'll just make me feel worse about myself. It's about grace. Being reminded that it's about God's grace within us should be a reminder that none of this is about our achievements or our accomplishments. The owner wanted to pay the 9 a.m. workers the same amount as he paid the 5 p.m. workers. It wasn't about how much time they worked. Their pay at the end of the day was based on the generosity of the owner. So it's not about how often we go to church. It's not about how good we are. It's about how good God is. And that reminds us too that God can do what God wants to do. I've already mentioned this, but have you ever written someone off and then saw that person living for God? I've been there. I've done that. Also, knowing that God can do what God wants to do reminds us that we should not be in the business of the comparison game. Well, he's got this and she's got that, but I have this. That is part of human DNA too, I think, in many ways, to compare ourselves with others. I've been working for 8 hours and that person's only been working for 2 hours. And we're reminded, as our parents said to us, mind your own business. Mind your own business in this point. Just be glad, rejoice that this is a generous owner. Also, remember that Jesus is talking to a group of Jews and Gentiles. And what we see here is the Jews were apparently struggling to get their mind around God's plan. This isn't the Messiah. This isn't the way that it's supposed to happen. No, God, no, Jesus, it doesn't work this way. Maybe they can be compared to the 9 a.m. workers or the 6 a.m. workers. You know, we've got the lineage, we've got the heritage, we've got Abraham, we have Moses, all of those things. And so they say, yeah, we are deserving of more. And God says, in my way, in my kingdom, it's Gentiles and Jews serving together. And by the way, Jews, you're saved by grace in Jesus. Gentiles, you're saved by grace through Jesus. All of you are saved by my generosity, is what God says to us. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. What's that mean? I think it means there is a place for everyone in the kingdom. Humility, grace, and selfless love are the way of the kingdom. That's the ethic of the kingdom, the language of the kingdom. It's not about saying, well, this person jumped in at this time, or this person jumped in, this person's got that, this person's got that. No, we all get to be a part of this kingdom of grace that is powerful and beautiful and a powerful force even in this community here. God's kingdom is different. Some have said that it's upside down. The first or the last will be first, and the first will be last. For the truth of the matter is, we could say about ourselves, we are last. But thankfully, through Christ, all of us can be a part of this kingdom. And so we get to enjoy the favor of God because of the grace of God. Daryl's going to lead us in a song. If there's anybody here that desires the prayers of this assembly, we'd be so glad to pray with you and for you. If there's anybody here that is ready to put Jesus on in baptism, whatever need that you have, you can come forward as we continue to worship. Let's stand. To the